Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre.
Well, good evening. We're still waiting some technical difficulties here, but this is Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Andre should be coming along here at some point, we're hoping, but there's no audio coming on his end, so I did hear him let me through into the show, so I'm hoping I'm live right now and I'm being heard April the 19th, 2022. And wanted to throw a show in here tonight because we've got the draft coming up next week and next weekend, so the big NFL draft. And you know, with the last few shows we did with the Oscar show and the wrestling show, and you know, now we wanted to get a show in to just kind of go through all of the randomness that's been going on. You know, baseball's kicked off. We had our fantasy draft down in Chicago, so we actually had the IMLD crew together for the first time in several years. And all the stuff that's been going on with football, with the trades and the free agency and all the crazy moves. So,
hello?
Hello? Are you underwater?
All right. How many of me are we hearing right now?
I only hear you, and it sounds like you are in a submarine.
Yeah, I'm on the speakerphone. That's how it sounds, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it sounds like you've got the cans and string method of connecting to the show going on tonight. So,
all right, I've turned the speaker off. How's that? Is that any good?
I hear you the same. So as long as you can hear, you're definitely audible. It's not the highest audio quality I've ever heard, but I can understand what you're saying.
Well, that's good. It's different when you're on the phone. So that's how I'm going to have to do it. I was having connection issues with my microphone before the show started, which is why I think this is something going on with me. So I'm going to have to do it by phone tonight.
Everything on my end sounds, you know, it's like I'm all connected. I was in the room. All my audio is clear. So, yeah, I knew there was trouble when you, about 30 seconds before the show, I heard the blog talk hold music go away and then just dead silence, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, because you know when I let you in and I say, can you hear me, and that's usually the cue to go ahead. Yeah, you can. But when I say, can you hear me, and there was nothing.
Yeah, and Blog like, Talk Radio always seems to punish us if we try to log in like right before the show starts. It seems like that's when we have all the difficulties.
We have somebody who wants to get in on our live show
already,
real quick. And it's a homeboy. It's a 708 area code. So, area code 708. Go ahead. What's on your mind? Welcome to Kings of Non Sequitur. But maybe they can't hear me either. Hello, the connect button for 708. So maybe it's a Blog Talk Radio thing that they're having.
It's possible. Wouldn't be the first time.
That's possible. So 708, I apologize. I tried to connect you, and apparently we're having issues tonight. So I'll have to put you back on mute there. Sorry about that. Yeah, somebody came right in, ready to go, right as we started the show. But unfortunately, can't hear. That might be an issue on their end. It might be Blog Talk Radio. There's no way to tell. It's one of those nights, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, we have these nights sometimes.
I told you about the connection issue with the microphone the last show, or not the last show, but the show, I think, with Dave, where I had to listen through the computer speaker because for some reason it wasn't letting me put my headphones on. So this time it was giving me the same issue when I first connected. So I've shut everything down audio-wise and been unplugged and plugged it back up and connected through and made sure that the settings said, you know, Yeti microphone for input and output. And I was like, okay, well, there we go. I finally fixed what the problem was. And now you can't hear me. So I guess I didn't fix it. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I urge you start a little bit about, again, last weekend in Chicago, finally seeing the guys in our fantasy league for the first time in several years. It was very, very good to see everybody.
It was fun, you know, and to do it live, you know, and that's always it's always so much better. After last year, you know, going through and doing a, you know, high-stakes fantasy keeper league draft, an auction style, not even a draft, auction style, trying to do that over Zoom, that, I mean, it was an experience. I guess I'm glad we'll always have that moment and we'll always get to remember doing it that way. But, yeah, getting everybody back in the room, doing it live, you know, the action going back and forth, and, you know, and being trying to read the room, and yeah, we always joke and call it the greatest day in sports, and it always seems to live up to its name. Every year is different, you know. You end up watching players go for like crazy amounts of money or way too cheap. And you just kind of hope that you end up at the end of it after a 7-hour ride. You just end up hoping that you've got a good team and you can contend. So that all remains to be seen. I mean, this season's a baby right now. So way too much overreacting, I'm sure, going on out there. You know, people getting excited about, you know, somebody who gets off to a hot start or their guy hasn't done anything yet. No, it's settle down, people. It's a long year.
Only a week plus. And, there's obviously people who are starting off cold and people who are starting off pretty hot, and that's every year. So there's really nothing you can do, you know, unless you want to be that guy that panics and says, oh, my God, so-and-so started 6-for-12. I have to get him. I have to trade and get that guy by any means necessary. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, Stephen Kwan's not going to hit 700?
All year?
Oh, well, we didn't get him, so that's good.
You know, and the guys that have the people that started off high, good for them.
Right.
Of course, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So you look up after 6 months of this, and you give the check to the person that's in front then, not now.
That's right.
So,
you know, no, it's going to be
the hot starts and all that. That's fine, but you got to measure it out and really figure out what's going to work for the long haul for the whole season.
Yeah, especially
for a hot 3 weeks.
Especially in baseball, injuries, call ups. I mean, you know, hot streaks, cold streaks, trades. I mean, you don't even really, and you've played fantasy baseball for longer than I have, but, you know, you got me started into it back in the sandbox days, and that's a long time ago, by the way.
Very much.
But, yeah, you don't even start to get a feel for the standings until, what, June?
You can sit there every day, every week, and look at it and say, oh, I'm in sixth place today. Nope, now I'm in eighth. Nope, now I'm in first. Yes. But for realistic purposes, as far as trying to contend for the season, yeah, you look out after Memorial Day and figure out from there, okay, what do I have to do to get from 6-1 or from 4-1, whatever the case may be. You know, you have to really assess and pay attention to the guys that experience over the years, you don't look at the guys that start a season really hot that came out of nowhere. You look at the guys that were highly touted, that were at the top of the rankings as far as the prospects go.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of those guys don't start off hot, but, you know, figure it out as the season goes on. You rarely see a guy figure it out and become a stud as the season goes on who wasn't, you know, really highly touted to begin with. So that's my sort of secret to success, I guess you could say, is the kids that were, you know, in those top 10, top 20 rankings a few years ago that finally get their shot in the majors, just because they start off slow doesn't mean you forget about them. You put them on your little watch list, you keep
right.
tabs on them, and when they finally start getting hot, you go get them. And you laugh at the guy that drafts in the 12th round is his big. We've had that in my fantasy league already. Guys that were drafted high and people spent all their free agent pool money already on these guys that didn't cut them already. Who's the kid? What's his name? I'm trying to recall cold without going back to my league and looking because I should know the name, but I'm tired. I've had a rough week.
Oh, so, I believe you.
Yeah. We'll get to that a little later, the past week that I've been going through personally. But there's somebody – Josh Lowe was the hot pickup when he got the job in Tampa Bay and started off cold. You know, again, it's been a week. So we're not talking a month and a half of terrible play. But one guy blew his load. Already, we talked about it last weekend when I saw you live and was talking about my league a little bit. And we have that in Yahoo. Anyone who's played the Yahoo Fantasy League knows that they went to a few years ago. They went to a system. They have $100 for everybody after they have their draft. They have $100 in free agent money that they can bid throughout the year. You have to make that $100 last for the year. And if a priority free agent comes free, whether it's someone that was in the minors and got added to the game or someone that got cut from another team, they go through the 2-day waiver process, and then it's not automatic that whoever was ahead in the waivers gets the guy. It's now with this FAB money, if you bid some money and no one else bid money, then you get them. And if multiple people bid money, then whoever bid the most gets them. And Josh Lowe came up after we had our draft. He was he got that job in Tampa Bay. He got awarded the one of the starting outfield positions in Tampa Bay, and he's got a high profile from the minor leagues of good speed, good possible power, a guy that you want on your fantasy team. And he's hitting .182 at the moment. So, one of the slow starters, that's understandable.
Right.
It happens. But when he got announced for that job, he wasn't drafted to the league, but this guy that calls himself, his team name is Big Money Players. You already know he's about, 16 years old and doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He spent 21 of his 100 tab dollars to pick up Josh Lowe.
Wow.
And he just cut him.
Oh, he cut him?
Yes. You're going to do that. You're going to...
If you're
going
to, I mean, if you're going to
yearly
yeah.
free agent money on one guy,
stick with
you're
him.
You're going to give him 10 days, and then you're going to cut him.
Stick with him.
That is so dumb. And it happens all the time, really. It happens where you pick up a guy that gets a starting job at the beginning of the year, and you lose patience with him, and you cut him after 1 week. That's bad enough. But this is way worse to me. When you have that kind of FAB money, when you blow that much money on a guy and then give up on him after 10, 12 days, that's unbelievable. So that guy is – I don't know anything about him, but I promise you he's finishing in the bottom of the league. I promise you, because he's not very bright. You cannot do that. That's just so stupid to blow your wad like that already on somebody. He's going to have no FAB money by, like, the end of this month. At the rate he's going, because he actually spent $21 on another guy in FAB money as well. Let me click on him and see which one that was. Oh, I have to look through his whole team to figure out who he sent that for. But he did that twice, yeah. Who else started out hot? I don't know if they started out, but somebody got a starting job at the beginning of the season, and this same guy decided he needed to have him too, so he did $21 on him as well. By the way, I'm looking at his team now. I don't know who that guy was. I'll find him in a second. But I'm looking at – this guy has Trevor Bauer on his bench. This is what kind of mentality we're dealing with. This is not a very bright person.
You got to cut – Josh Lowe and keep Trevor Bauer.
folks, if you were tuning in to hear some insightful fantasy baseball, I'm sorry that we're starting out with this big money players guy in my league who is on his way to being in the Jimbo Hall of Fame for –
I was about to say, is the name of his team, is this Freedom in Christ? Is this, you remember that guy?
Big money players in all caps.
Big money players.
In all caps, got to make sure everyone knows. We're big money players. not very intelligent. But my point was, go crazy for guys at the beginning of the year who might have a job, might get the starting job. And if you do go crazy for them, have some fucking patience.
Yeah,
it's been a week and a half, not even, of baseball. Let whoever you have patience and confidence in, let the guy figure himself out, or, you know, don't pick him up initially and just kind of wait and see with these guys. There's so many guys out there that I'm not picking up. I like them, but they're not hot right now, but I think they're going to get hot later on. And if they do, I'll be there. I'll be ready to pick them up, and that's how you win these leagues. To jump right on the flavor of the month is not very smart.
Yeah, and I mean, in baseball, so early. I mean, you know, other than we know that the Reds are going to be bad. We knew that already because they quit before the season started.
You and Loser keep laughing at me about the Reds, and I picked them to finish second in the division. Just watch. It's still early.
Okay.
Give them a chance.
It's coming.
It's coming. They're coming around.
Get
all their guys off of COVID.
It's only a
They'll
week
be
and
right
a half.
There.
That's right. They got plenty of time to turn it around. We've seen it before.
Big money players splurged $21 on Fab Money on was C.J. Abrams, the shortstop for the Padres, and the reason I couldn't find him on is because he already cut him too.
Oh, so he spent over 40% of all of his money for the whole year and cut both players already?
On two guys he's already cut.
Huh. It's an interesting strategy.
Yes, it's called being really stupid. That's the strategy.
Oh man, so we got to sit through the draft, you know, and I don't have any proclamations about our team. You know, it is what it is. It's got a lot of power and no speed, and you know, our usual kind of pitching mix and no saves. So there you go.
Go get them.
A lot of guys who might pick up saves, you know, as the season progresses, but we'll see. So, I'm definitely not too into the standings at the moment. Nor should you be. I mean, if you're one of these people who's, you know, and it's a famous story, and I've told it before, but you know, started in this league in 2002, and did not finish in the money until my fifth season, which was 2006. Was the first time, and I won. We won the whole thing in 2006 for the first time of three, and we were in last place on June 1st. And by the 4th of July, we were in first place, and never anything worse than first after the 4th of July. So it can happen. Guys get hot, players come up, people get hurt, playing time opens up, so... Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and look at it and start wringing my hands because, you know, most of your pitchers have only had, what, maybe two starts, maybe, at this point.
Now, you looked at me after the draft and we're kind of looking at, you know, for my approval or my opinion of our team. Yeah. And I said I liked our team. You did not seem nearly as pleased after the draft.
I'm not disappointed. It's just it's very it's going to be good at what it's good at. there's not a lot of balance on our roster. We have a lot of hitting. I'm not going to I don't know about a lot of average, but there's going to be a lot of home runs hit by this team. And that becomes attractive because as you get deeper into the season, if you have a pretty well-rounded offense and a lot of guys are hitting home runs, you can start to trade some pieces and not absorb too much of the hits. So I don't hate the pitching. So I'm happy there too. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be a long ride. The season just it already feels long.
There's some holes for sure. I didn't indicate it was a perfect team. I hope I didn't give that impression.
Oh, no.
But I liked it in general. I think we got really good players, and some of them cost almost nothing. And when that happens, I don't know how you can be too disappointed in it. But, yes, I concur that there are areas that we're punting at the moment just because we don't have the horses to get any saves or too many steals.
Right. So we'll see how that all shakes up. But, we've got, four steals now for the whole season.
Probably about as many as I got on my Yahoo team.
It's funny because two of our steals have come from Gary Sanchez and Anthony Rizzo.
Bonus. You take them where you can get them.
I when I was looking, I saw that when Gary Sanchez stole a base, it was his first one in 4 years.
Thank you. All you do is say thank you and keep it going.
So there you go. Scary Gary.
Right. I have 7 old steals on my Yahoo team.
What's that?
I have 7 old steals on my Yahoo
7,
team.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be scarce in some categories, but if you can put up enough, if you can finish in the top 2 or 3 in a lot of other categories, you're going to put yourself in a spot to contend for some money and then make some deals. So, yeah, not going to belabor too much of the start of baseball season. There have been the usual injuries. It seems like the story this season, and I don't know if you've picked up on this at all, but the story so far of the baseball season is a lot of pitchers with reduced velo.
Yeah, that definitely is a lot of that. Mr. Rizzo has a steal tonight, by the way. So he's
that's where he picked it up. No, that's not his second one. That was his first one. So don't get my hopes up. No, that was I'm keeping up with the live stats. That's our first
live. Okay.
A
lot of reduced velo, not a surprise with the reduced spring training.
Right.
And then on the fielder's side, man, there's a lot of obliques. Everywhere you turn, someone's pulling an oblique.
Pitchers and hitters.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that many oblique injuries before, in the beginning of the season. So one thing you can take from that, only one conclusion you can make, which is some of these guys needed some more spring training.
More spring training, They like almost like they rushed the season a little bit there.
Just a bit.
Because we went from having we go from a full month of spring training games and 6 months of pitchers and catchers, or 6 weeks, not 6 months, but 6 weeks, and then a full month of spring training to 2 weeks. Everybody gets 2 weeks. So, you're seeing a lot of strange pitching lines right now because of these expanded bullpens. I think these managers you're seeing pitchers that are getting yanked at like 65 pitches now. I don't think that goes into May when those other two relievers get sent down, but they're basically just stretching these guys out. We're watching over-glorified spring training right now is what I've come to the realization of.
Getting a whole lot of 3- and 4-inning starts. And
yeah.
Some of those guys will stretch out and get into 5 and 6 and 7, but some of them won't. Some of them are just the guys that are designated to go, about two or three as openers, and then here come the bulk guys behind them. So it's weird for fantasy trying to sort out what's what, who's a bulk guy who you want to maybe consider for your team because he's going to be in line for the win, and who's a bulk guy that you don't want to consider because he's just not very good, and who's a starter that might get stretched out, but right now is just going two or three innings. It's a bit of a toss-up, bit of a game to play and try to figure these things out and think along with the managers. A lot of closers are being juggled, and I'm really struggling with that in my league as well because there's a lot of situations where you think a guy is the guy, and then you look up in the box score and just send him out in the sixth inning to protect a 3-1 lead, and it's like, well, then he's not the damn closer now, is he? He's just going out there in the sixth. It's difficult to get a read on a lot of things in this season. This is one of the weirder seasons with the lockout, the reduced spring training, with all these guys that are clearly getting hurt because they didn't have enough time to get ready, and also with some of these managerial tricks and decisions, and let me put this guy out there and watch him out 0-for-4 night and then pull him back and sit him and bench him the next two or three days, and you don't know if the guy's in the doghouse, he's going to get another shot, and he might get another shot because someone else pulled an oblique. So it's kind of wait and see at this point.
Yeah, and then in real baseball, not so much from a fantasy slant either. Not really any cause for alarm unless you're the Reds. Not a lot of cause for alarm. Although you love your Reds, but the Cubs have gotten off to an okay start. And come on, it's not going to last.
Yeah,
the roster's not that great. I've enjoyed. Seiya Suzuki so far, tremendous plate discipline. That's not something that I'm used to seeing as a Cubs fan. You know, probably the best plate discipline I've seen from this team since the year they won the World Series, but that's about the closest comparison you will ever get to me in the 2016 Cubs in this squad.
Right. If he was joined by Rizzo, Bryant, and Javi, then you'd have something. But
No, he's joined by Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom and guys. That's just that Cubs team. We talked about it in the preview. It's guys.
Nico Horner.
That is a team. Yeah, Nick Madrigal. It's a team of guys, and their pitching isn't very good, but they're scoring runs. So I'll at least give them credit for that. They might move up into fun bad territory if they keep this up, but that's 500 would be. I still think 500 is a tall task for this Cubs team.
Yeah, unfortunately, I concur with that. Well, yeah, Suzuki, you can't take anything away from him early on. There's no doubt that he came ready to get it on, and he's playing very well. I wish the White Sox had him right now.
Well, things aren't looking too bad for your for the Pale Hose.
Yeah, very early.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They play in a trash division, just remember. It's April 19th. It's April 19th, and they play in one of the worst divisions in baseball.
Well, I got to get into the panic mode like everybody else. Oh my God, the sky is falling.
We're not 9-2.
Fire everybody.
So the other thing that we wanted to get into is this crazy off-season of football, which we haven't really talked about at all, but man, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not Aaron Rodgers drama, which makes it even weirder that this isn't all Aaron Rodgers drama. It's very little Aaron Rodgers drama, in fact. Once he gets the bag, it's really not a lot of Aaron Rodgers. It's been very quiet on the Aaron Rodgers front. Excuse me. It's been a whole lot of other stuff going on, and I don't even know where do you want to begin.
I don't know where I want to begin either. It took my preparation time away, all this stupidity with the audio. I wanted to go back and look through and try to find like an article that maybe summed up all of these moves that have been happening this year. But I don't know if that's going to be something I can find in a short time, because it's been one after the other.
I found a website that's actually got all the moves, all kind of spelled out with the, you know. So that's pretty useful. I'm looking at it right now with, you know, some players that stayed, some players with all the trades, it lists those all. So even though it's all labeled under free agency, it does show the trades. It doesn't show necessarily everything that they got in the trade, but it at least shows the key, like the player who moved. So I'll save you the drama of the person at the top of the list is Deshaun Watson. Which is, that was the big one. That was on top of big ones, you know, because first you have Aaron Rodgers gets his money. Then the Packers trade Devontae Adams to the Raiders, and you know, and all the Packer fans are all up in arms, and I'm like, well, it's not the worst thing. I actually looked at that as a not a big negative, because he was another one who was going to want to get paid too, and they weren't going to be able to afford any defense if they kept Devontae Adams. And once they – it was funny because the day after they traded Devontae Adams, they started re-signing all their defensive guys. So you could see that that was the plan, and I was okay with it. So we'll see what they do as far as acquiring receivers. But Aaron Rodgers, he's in that list of quarterbacks. This is why I'm not worried, but he's in that list of quarterbacks where it doesn't really matter. He's a star maker, right? Like Peyton Manning was, and – yeah, Tom Brady turned into one, but he didn't start out as one. Favre was one. You know, these guys, Aaron Rodgers would be okay. Don't worry.
The one move that we discussed in a little bit of depth on a previous, like, after show. So for those who may not have listened to that and are listening live now, I'll bring back my point on that, which is I disagree. I think Aaron Rodgers may have been a star maker before, but I think those other guys around Devontae Adams that I know I've been sort of waiting for him to make stars out of those other guys for the last 3 or 4 years, and he hasn't been able to do it. And I laughed at the move of getting rid of the one guy that Aaron Rodgers seems to trust to throw the football to in the past 5 years. That the one guy. So I'm on record with that. That's my hot take going into this upcoming season right off the bat is the Packers got rid of the one guy, Aaron Rodgers, that this crazy, petulant diva that is sitting there whining and crying that nobody loves him all the time. You got rid of the one guy that he likes to throw to. They're winning 9 games next year. How the hell they're going to get some other guys, and I think Sammy Watkins is already signed there, and they're going to draft some people. He doesn't trust any of them. Don't trust anyone but Devontae Adams, and you got rid of the one guy. They're going to go down from that move big time. That's my opinion. You obviously see it differently.
Well, yeah, you're a Bears fan. So
everything I say about the Packers is a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Bears fan.
Asterisk, you're a Bears fan. No, I'm just...
everything I just said.
That's some wishful thinking there. But no, that's okay. I will say, if they win 9 games next year, they're still winning the division.
Problem.
So we did not unpack anything about the other two big quarterback moves, and there were some lesser ones, but the two big ones were Deshaun Watson and Bill Wilson. You know, and to hear it, one of them was universally panned, and the other one was sort of universally praised, and I would have universally panned both.
Okay.
So I wasn't a fan of either move. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is a PR nightmare. So, yes. You know, all of the articles that were written about Deshaun Watson, I think were already typed, and teams and people just had blanks for the team to type it in.
So whichever team decided to acquire.
Whichever team decided to go get Deshaun Watson, all those same articles were going to be written about, you know, about the move or about giving him the money. They gave him a lot of money, and they guaranteed him.
They guaranteed it all.
They guaranteed, in a league that guarantees nothing, they guaranteed him a whole lot of money. And obviously that the talent is not the question. It's not an issue of play the position. Yeah, he can play the position. If this was Deshaun Watson going to the Browns with no baggage, and none of that other stuff, you know, that we had to worry about. We were just going straight off the skill. I'd be like, yeah, Browns are going to the Super Bowl. But there's a whole lot of baggage in play here. And he's sat for virtually, what, a season and a half now?
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see. I don't, you know, he's gonna get booed hard everywhere he goes. But the talent's there. That roster is loaded. You know, I wouldn't want to play them in Madden.
That was true with Baker Mayfield too.
Really?
You know, except the quarterback was Baker Mayfield.
Except the quarter, yeah, that was a loaded team with a mediocre quarterback. I mean, Deshaun Watson is a step up. I mean, I don't think I don't think that's in question here.
Any breakdown of the Deshaun Watson deal has to be done on two levels, obviously. So you just did both levels for you. My thought on Deshaun Watson, the off the field level first. I have to be consistent. I have screamed at the top of my lungs on this show and on social media and in the rare off-the-show sports discussions that I get into with guys. I have to stay consistent and say, hey, the talent overrules everything. I don't care if he molested 20, 30, 60 masseuses. Massage therapist. I don't care what he did off the field. If he can help me win games, I have to have them, because if I don't win games, I get fired and my family doesn't eat. So that's just period. There's no gray area there, because when you do not win enough games and get fired, they don't sit there while they're firing you and say, but you racked up these brownie points because you did it with these sets of guys that had high character. So we're going to take points off for that. We're going to give you credit because you had these choir, but they don't do that. They never do that. If you don't win enough, they fire your ass. So you have to get players who help you win, period. All the off the field shit is great for the social justice people who want to scream and say that you can't have this guy on your team because of all the stuff that he does. Yeah, well, if you don't have them on your team and you lose, what are the social justice people going to do? Are they going to help you win games? Are they going to get on the field and help you win? Of course not. You have to have the people on the field that will help you win football games, period. And if you really have a problem with that, there's a lot of Cleveland Browns fans that have been like, I can't do it with this team anymore. You know what? Fine. And not just fine, but understandable and Godspeed. But what you're not going to do is get me to feel sorry for you because you can't root for your team because they have a player that might help you win, but you don't like what he did off the field. You have absolutely every right to no longer root for the Cleveland Browns because they have Deshaun Watson. And I'm not going to even be mad at that. But like I said, I'm certainly not going to stand up and applaud it if you did something, as if you took some great stance that gives you some sort of clout. That's not
right.
Something that gives you clout. That's just, you can't stomach it because, you know, for whatever reasons, and that's fine, and that's understandable. But for the rest of the fans that are left behind that still know that rooting for a team does not define you as a person and are able to root for a team no matter who's on the team, because it's just sports at the end of the day. It's really not seriously that big a deal. They know you got to get guys to help you win, and this guy can help you win because at his best, he is a damn good football player. So that's the off-the-field stand. I can't, you know, I don't like him. I don't like what he did. I think it's pretty, it's not just disgusting, it's stupid. Like, dude, you're in the NFL, and you're a star. You can find women to do whatever the fuck you want them to do to you during a massage, before a massage, after a massage. You do not have to take legitimate massage therapists and try to make them do what you want them to do, because that's not what they're there for. There are women who will do that for you. And I know you have people on your team that will let you know who those women are that will do that for you, but some guys have that gene in them that they have to, you know, get it from a real, quote unquote, a real woman. It is more exciting for them. That's unfortunately what seems to be happening with Deshaun Watson. There's plenty of size there. It's wrong that he did that, but now we got to go look on the field because, like you said, if he's good enough and he's, you know, obviously an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. And that's why all this is happening, because he's really good as a quarterback. This wouldn't be happening if he was not very good at quarterback. And if he were not good at quarterback, he wouldn't be, you know, on the Texans and available for trade. He wouldn't just cut him, because that's the rules. The Stars get different rules for them. That's just how it is. On the field, yeah, obviously upgrade over Baker Mayfield. Obviously, at his best, can take the Browns into the playoffs and very deep into the playoffs. But yeah, you made a good point when you bring up the fact that he hasn't seen game action in a long, long time. Like 2020 was the last time he was actually out in the field. So it's going to be an adjustment. He's going to be getting back up to game speed. No one knows how many games it's going to take him to get back to that Deshaun Watson that was playing at sort of an MVP level, taking that terrible Texans team and winning games that he had no business winning at different points. I definitely remember when he was at his best. It was like, holy shit, man, holy shit, you know, leading this dog shit team to victories, but he's putting up some unreal numbers on doing it. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely balling out. So excited to see if he can get back there. And, you know, however many people in that stadium, 67,000, however many fits into the Cleveland Stadium, it's sports. Jay, you know as well as I do what's going to happen. They're going to be grudging at the beginning and
yep.
looking with a pew eye. And if he's not very good, they're going to boo and have problems with him. And when he does something great, they're going to cheer and say, that's our guy. We're going to the playoffs. Cleveland Browns going to the Super Bowl. It's all about what happens on the field. And if he wins, they're going to cheer.
Yeah, the first time he goes for 400 and four touchdowns and they beat some high-powered opponent, now it's a redemption arc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love our redemption arcs, right? We're going to get our sit-down where he sits, you know, on ESPN or CBS, and he's going to sit down with Tony Romo, or he's going to sit down with somebody and he's going to show his contrition, and they're going to do a little 10-minute flowery segment, and that's it, baby. Deshaun Watson's back.
And it's so ridiculous for those of us who know what that is. That's just whitewash the terrible,
uh-huh.
terrible thing that this guy did with the sportsy stuff. That's it.
That's it.
And we
that's
know
his redemption arc. We've seen it, right?
Too many times. Brett Favre was such a upstanding citizen after he made some football plays, after the stuff that he was doing while his wife was sick.
Maybe they let Michael Vick come back. He got his redemption arc.
Such an upstanding young man after sitting there watching dogs kill each other. Yeah, everyone knows what this is all about. So.
We can already write the script.
Yep.
So then it comes down to, you know, did they do the right thing? I don't know about all the guaranteed, but it's not my money. So that's an awfully big guarantee. But if you're the people running the Browns and you look at your team and you assess your team correctly and say, we are only a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender, which they are, and we've talked about it on this show how many times, countless times, then you make the move, right? You pull the trigger, and then you deal with the short-term negative publicity. Nobody's talking about it at all anymore. You know, so many other things are going to happen. It's going to be buried as a move that happened pre-draft. And, yeah, I guarantee you, unless there's a regression, but like he you know, he does it again, or I should say he gets caught again, or sued yeah. again, or something in that front comes up. And he stays, you know, off the radar, and he just goes out and plays football at the level that he can. Yeah, he'll be fine.
As far as the guarantee money goes, all his agent can do, all his job is
yeah.
make the ridiculous ask, and 32 owners can laugh at his face and say, are you fucking crazy? No.
Yeah. They only got to get one.
The Aslams are
yeah.
dumb enough to have said, whatever this guy wants, give it to him because we need him.
Right.
All the agent did was ask. The Haslam said yes. I don't know why they did. Reading articles by people in the know, other owners and general managers around the league are, like, pissed. Like, they can't believe this happened. Let's think about all the young, big-time arms that are going to have deals come up soon, whether it's Burrow or Herbert or any of the other young guns that haven't gotten their big cash yet. Kyler Murray is going to hold out, apparently, trying to get his bag. How do you look at those guys and go back to the normal way of the NFL and say, here's your $200 million contract, only 30% of that is guaranteed? When Deshaun Watson down there, Mr. Grabby in Cleveland, got 100% of his contract guaranteed, how can you look at Joe Burrow and what he just fucking did on the field? How can you look at him and say, nah, I'm not going to give you all the money to you. You're no Deshaun Watson. Come on.
Yeah, so I said that the move was panned, you know, but that was panned for off the field. I'm not panning that move for, like I said, if you're just X's and O's on this one and the guy's available and you realize that he is a clear upgrade. There's all these stories about how upset Baker Mayfield is. Play better. Play better, Baker.
Ooh, fucking who?
Play better.
Baker Mayfield.
You know, you hurt your team playing hurt last year because you were afraid of losing your job, and you still lost your job.
By the way, that's his coach's fault. Stefanski should have never played him in that state. And I was on record during the season saying, why the hell aren't they using who's their backup? Keenum?
Was it Case Keenum at the time?
They're all there. What the hell?
No, yeah. No, it wasn't helping him. But he also, he didn't stop and say, no, I'm too hurt.
Well, no, the player isn't going to do that. The player is always going to be John Wayne and say, yeah, cowboy, I can take him. I can do anything.
Unless you're Antonio Brown. Then you just rip off your jersey and run off the field mid-game.
That's a whole other topic, that guy.
So, the other move, though, that everybody loved, and now you still hear about it on the radio, the one you're still talking about.
I'm getting him.
Oh, man. The move,
Antonio Brown move.
I'm driving home the other day, and I'm still hearing people talking about this Russell Wilson to the Broncos thing, like the Broncos are suddenly, they're doing what they did when they brought in Peyton Manning. And I'm looking at the Broncos going, they're still the worst team in that division.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than what they were.
Yeah, but you know, Peyton Manning did not come over to play for the Broncos, and they had the top defense or one of the top defenses in football, but he wasn't playing against Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert and the Raiders team that seems to be going finally in the right direction. So, hey, good for Russell Wilson, but I don't think the Broncos are winning anything.
Playing a bit of devil's advocate, I guess. This isn't end of his career, Peyton Manning. Russell Wilson still has a lot in the tank. He's much younger than Peyton Manning was at that time.
He's 34.
So his skill level and his decision-making appears to be about as good as it's ever been. And now you put him in a position where he's on a team where I don't know if they're going to be smarter than run Russ Bomb in Seattle, but that's what they were doing in Seattle, and it was not working. And I think it's really easy to go somewhere else and have them say, let's try something other than that and see how that works. I see the optimism. I see why people think that's going to be a big upgrade and obviously a much better quarterback as far as his talent on the field than whatever they were going to throw out there in Denver next year. So I like it. I guess I like it more than you. Super Bowl is, I guess, the standard. It should be the standard for every team, I understand, and it's definitely the standard in Denver because that's what Peyton Manning did, was dropped in.
Right, that's what this is being
title.
Compared to.
Yes. So in that respect, no. Do I see him bringing a ring to Denver? No, I don't see that. But it's a go-for-it move. It's clearly the next option, because they've been linked to Aaron Rodgers for so long, and Aaron Rodgers decided to stay in Green Bay, as you said he would all this time. And this is clearly, you know, option B. So I like it obviously a lot more than you do. I guess I don't love it as far as making them legit Super Bowl contenders. Like, if they got to a conference title game somehow, that would be pretty impressive. It would be hard to imagine them going all the way to the Super Bowl, like you said, in that loaded conference, especially in that loaded division. But I like them in general.
Yeah, but you always, you know, we've seen the Broncos. They're one of those teams that they need the home field. They're not going to get it. I don't think they're going to come down out of the Mile High. And I don't think they're going to Buffalo. I don't think they're going to Kansas City. They're not. Will they compete? Yeah. Will they make the playoffs? Maybe. I mean, can every team in that division make the playoffs? That would be something.
It could happen.
I guess it could happen. He's definitely going to be tested in that division. I kind of feel bad for him leaving that powerhouse NFC West to go to the AFC West. And,
but what were they doing in that power in that NFC West? What were they doing to compete? They were behind everybody. We talked about how.
Oh yeah, the player, but man, you kind of feel bad for him going from that situation to another situation where now that's easily the best division in football.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier leaving that division going to the AFC.
Right. Yeah, having to play the Clipper Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Raiders six times. Oof.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll see. I don't hate it for Russell Wilson. I'm happy for him. He got out of there. We'll see if he can sort of revitalize the career. Their offensive line can't be worse than the Seattle one, so maybe he won't be running for his life the whole damn time. I'm assuming a better running game. Melvin Gordon's still a free agent. Don't know where he's going to end up, if he's going to re-sign with them or if he's going to end up going somewhere. That remains to be seen.
They've been grooming Javonte Williams to be the man.
Yeah. So that's already an upgrade at the running back position over Seattle, who hasn't had a good running back since Marshawn Lynch left. They keep trying. They keep trying, these guys, but they just don't pan out, and they get hurt.
Right. So the Broncos might have a slightly easier path in that division, leading into another huge move, and then to get that in before our live hour ends. How much weaker do you think the Chiefs are shipping Tyreek Hill off to Miami? That shocked me.
You know, I don't.
Okay.
You look at the quality of the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is going to get the ball to guys. Does he have the game breaker? No. You know, they decided to trade him. Don't know why necessarily. I haven't dug that far into it. They then turn around and they sign Juju. Not a bad move. Didn't have to even give him a lot of money. I'm not afraid for the Chiefs. Like, that offense is just going to completely fall completely, you know, on its face. Like, oh, it's over.
Okay.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. The Packers will be fine. So I'm not worried.
I'm more afraid for the Chiefs than you. I don't want to declare them dead or anything crazy like that. But I just do want to acknowledge that there were times in that run of Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill being a tag team there. There were times where if Tyreek wasn't getting off, the Chiefs looked like they didn't have anything going. As great as of a playmaker as Patrick Mahomes is and can be, he does have dry spells where he just can't figure it out. This most recent playoff loss being one of those times. There were times that it was it was the Tyreek Hill show. If he wasn't popping, it wasn't happening. And most importantly, that one damn ring that they got, that the Michael Wilbon makes fun of the Chiefs for being the dynasty of one, because they got one ring and everyone was talking about, oh, my God, the Chiefs are going to be a dynasty. They're going to have all these titles. And they got one so far. And he's got a point there. And as far as I'm concerned, remembering the actual game, if they don't have Tyreek Hill go crazy in the fourth quarter, they don't have that one ring. They don't have that one because the Niners are beating them by 10. They're going to win that game.
The Niners' defense held them down, and it was just that one just heave to Hill where Hill just sort of
broke open into an empty spot,
and Mahomes just throws them open, and that changed the whole game. Otherwise, the 49ers and Jimmy G were going to beat Patrick Mahomes in that offense. They had him. They had him on the ropes.
So I'm more afraid of that there was at least that connection that was about as electric as it gets in the game was Mahomes to Hill when they were clicking. And now that's not there. And I like Juju in general, but he's no Tyreek Hill.
No.
So I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, I don't quite understand the trade. You know, if the player really wants to leave and go back home and go somewhere else, then if you have every indication he's not coming back to your organization, then it is incumbent upon you to do something to get value for him before he just walks and you get nothing. So I guess I understand it in that respect, but still, that guy, Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, like that is a hell of a playmaker to just say, well, he might not come back, so we just got to throw him to Miami because he's from Miami and he wants to play there. Oof. That was a tough decision.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about the X's and O's implications for the Dolphins because, it's the Dolphins.
Because he's got Tua throwing to him, so...
little downgrade there.
Just a bit. Before we get into the after show, did you want to do the story of what the show is titled, or do you want me to try to do it?
Oh, you'll tell that so much better than I will, because that was hilarious.
If I can do it in 90 seconds before we go off the air. So we're sitting at our normal breakfast spot. I believe it's called Anders.
Anders Restaurant. Here's a shout-out.
Whatever suburb that is, I don't even remember. Is that Skokie?
Skokie.
And so the waitress, a bit of an older lady in her 50s, she sees us. I'm in my Al Sharpton velvet jumpsuit. I'm looking like you guys, protection, you and Luz. And so she sees you and him with baseball caps and gear on. I got a baseball cap on, and the Cubs were in town last weekend. So she asks, are you guys going to the baseball game later? And Bill just normally, we're having our fantasy draft later. Because to us, it's just normal. It is. We do. To other people, fantasy, what? Draft? What are you talking about?
Yeah, she just checked out and walked away.
She had no idea what we were talking about. So she comes back, gives us our bill. She's wishing us goodbye and decides to throw in at the end. And you guys enjoy your fantasy. And we're like, not that kind of fantasy, lady.
Awkward.
So, yeah, I think she thought we were doing something not related to baseball. Or I don't know exactly what she thought. And you could tell she knew when she said it, like, what did I just say?
Yeah, because we were laughing pretty hard.
And
I think she got a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know.
And I was laughing so hard. I was like, no, lady, it's fine.
No,
that's great.
It's awesome.
It's great.
It was
It's all good.
That was,
and at that point, I said, our next podcast, that's got to be the title. And it is.
Enjoy your fantasy.
Okay. Well, we enjoyed our fantasy very much. We enjoyed our Luminatis. We enjoyed our coffee. We enjoyed our camaraderie with the guys and catching up and talking about everybody, seeing everybody. And man, I don't want to say I almost got emotional, but after the last few years with COVID, there is a bit of, oh my God, I'm surrounded by people. And
I'm living my life.
We're actually doing what we want to do with other human beings, and we don't have to be behind computer screens, and we don't have to worry about masks, even though I still had to worry about a mask flying down because it was a mask mandate at the time that I flew down, which
right.
has apparently been dispelled since.
You should have waited 2 weeks.
Right. Well, that the draft was not this weekend. If
no.
it was, I wouldn't have to worry about a mask. But yeah, it was, especially for someone like me who is normally sort of, how do I even describe myself? You could probably describe me better than me, but I'm a bit of a recluse. I don't get out much. I don't socialize very much. I got like two friends in the world, you and Dave. I don't get out. And I don't, you know, the bowling league that I was in for 6 years was pretty much my only socializing down here. And then that ended because of COVID. So yeah, this fantasy draft thing, this is the first time that I've been up there for it in 4 years, because I missed it the last time you guys were all together.
Right.
And then the baseball season got canceled, basically, a couple years ago. I mean, they still play, but we didn't play fantasy because it was a crazy season, a 60-game season. And then last year was the Zoom draft, which was it was a thing.
That was,
yeah,
I was just never again do I want to have to go through that.
No. I was just glad to see guys and shake their hand and slap their backs. And it was something that I probably took a little bit for granted going up there every year and doing. And I don't take it for granted anymore just because of not being able to do it and not having it. I really missed it. I missed it a lot more than I thought I would. And I even missed, you know, sitting around afterwards in Buffalo Wild Wings shooting the shit with you and Loser and laughing at Loser not remembering who his team was. And
yeah,
baseball,
that was interesting. One of my friends, we call him Loser, but he recruited me into this fantasy league. I've known him since, oh my God, 1996. So it's a pretty long time. And started in that league in 2002. And yeah, I mean, we get done with the draft, and then it's like, well, we'll just go over and find some TVs and, you know, have some wings, and I drank a couple beers, and just sitting around watching the games, and yeah, the whole time he's sitting there, he had no idea who was on his roster, which was, it was hilarious. Like, you just went through that whole thing, you know, and that's also a testament, though, to how sort of frantic it is.
It can be draining.
That, you know, it's like, sometimes you get guys, you're like, oh, I got that guy? Oh. Okay. That's how we ended up with Chris Paddock, you know.
Because we said two and nobody said three.
Yeah, you know, somebody nominates somebody and it goes around the room and everybody throws up another dollar. And the first person just nominated him for a dollar. And I said, two. And everybody else, out, pass, out. Oh, no. So
going once, going twice,
yeah.
Sold for $2. You know, you didn't say oh no to that though. You know, there's nobody in the world that you say oh no if you bid $2 and you get them. Like,
no,
it's $2.
It wasn't that, but it's just you don't expect that. Like you were
right.
Expecting it to keep going, and you're like oh it stopped. And I looked at you, I'm like, is he trash? I mean, he's not trash.
No,
you're like, no, he's worth $2. Okay,
yeah, at least
that one was a weird one. So.
What'd you get Raimel Tapia for?
Five.
What was that? We said five, no one said six. And we
right.
looked at each other and said, oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, right. Raimel Tilapia.
So, yeah, that's...
yeah, I felt the same way when we got Anthony Rizzo for $17.
Sure.
I didn't quite expect that to stop so quick. I was like, oh, okay.
That's the fun of the draft. You get guys you don't necessarily expect, and other guys that you thought you were going to have a beat on, the bidding gets so out of control, you're like, nope, we are out of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of those this year.
Yeah.
There were a lot of, like, sort of middling players who all started going for, like, $20. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. I'm not feeling so bad about getting some of these guys in the teens when you're just hearing randos going for 20.
No, it's just 6 hours of chaos, and you come in with one strategy, and you got to immediately change, and so, oh, we're not getting him. Who else are we trying to get? But it's awesome. It's like I said, it's draining. We were both very tired after that long day.
Yeah.
Start with the breakfast. You go right into the draft. You have lunch. You finish up the draft. You have the ultra draft. We run over to Buffalo Wild Wings. And about 6 o'clock, we're like, yeah, we're done.
I was out. I mean, out of sleep by eight.
Yep.
Plus I also knew I had to drive to Midway in the waking hours, which was surprisingly quick.
You knew it was going to be quick. It was Sunday morning. So
I know. It was a Sunday morning at like 6:30 in the morning. And it wasn't that bad. Even getting out of there after we figured out, like, how the hell do you get to the terminal? That was the hardest part, because it spins you all over. I don't ever remember it being that crazy. I have been to Midway driving in so long. It used to just be you pulled in off of Cicero and that was it. And now it was like there was a ramp and you go all the way around to the other side and then you come back again. And it was like, where the hell are we?
And not the best labeled driveway going into Midway.
No. Like, for one sign, they'd tell you there was for departures. Then the next sign wouldn't. But it was still four departures. I was like, oh, you just kind of had to guess. But,
is this still departures?
But you got out of there, and you still got home before I did.
Right. Well, it's flying. I'm supposed to get home before you do.
Yeah. Yeah, because from Midway to home, it was 4.5 hours driving.
See, I thought it was even longer than that. I thought it would be 6 hours or so.
Well, we stopped. My mom and I stopped we made a breakfast stop on the way home.
Yeah, for some reason, I still thought you were farther north than you are. I guess you used to be farther north.
Oh, no, I was. I used to be another hour and a half farther north than I am now. No, I actually got, when I drove down from my house to the hotel where we stayed, it was 4 hours flat.
Okay.
So that's not bad.
Yeah, for some reason, I still think of you as like northern Wisconsin, but now you're more
Wisconsin. I'm kind of north central now, where I used to be like way up, like almost in the UP of Michigan up north.
Yeah.
Like in no man's land up there. No, not so bad now. I mean, there's actually an airport 10 minutes from here or 15 minutes from here.
But I still beat you home. You got me to the airport. I had an hour plus or so to wait for my flight. And then we were up and down in like 90 minutes. I was back in Memphis.
Yeah, that's how I remember the flights down to Tunica. It was about an hour and a half.
Yep. Getting to the public transportation after flying into Midway was an adventure for me. You talk about how confusing and crazy it is to drive into Midway Airport. I definitely don't remember it being that crazy leaving Midway Airport to go to the train, to the Orange Line train. You would think that would be a direct route, like, right there to the train, and it was not at all. There were multiple corridors to walk down, to go through this, to walk down another corridor, to walk down this way, to take an elevator to this floor, to walk down another long-ass corridor, to turn right this way, to go out a set of doors, to go down another long-ass corridor, to go down a long-ass flight of stairs, and then you're finally at the track. And it's like, what? I don't remember the last time I took the train to or from Midway, but I don't remember being like that. I really do think that they did that more recently. Like, there was a renovation involved or something to make it that. That was a labyrinth. It was like a mouse bees just trying to figure out one way to. It was crazy. And then so I'm meeting you out at on the Blue Line.
Yeah.
Out near O'Hare, ironically, flying into Midway, but I'm meeting you near O'Hare because that's where the draft was being held. That's where our hotel was. So that was definitely an adventure. We got a little bit of rain, got a little bit of snow, got a little bit of cold, got a little bit of every time I go to Chicago, I get a little bit of the Chicago weather, a little bit of everything. So I had that going while dragging the suitcase, which was a new experience for
yeah.
me.
And then you called my mom a loser.
And I get in the car. I finally make it through all those staircases and going down to the subway and seeing the rats in the subway, which is oddly comforting to see the rats on the subway track. It's like, yeah, I'm back home. So then I finally make it out to where you were sitting and waiting for me, and I see you, and I'm dragging the suitcase, and it's snowing and getting all that weather and all that weariness. Has been an hour plus, hour and a half since I got off the plane, and I'm just and I worked that day, so I'm very, very tired. Did all of that after I got off of work, and you have been texting me all day about dinner with Loser.
Yeah.
And so I finally get there. Was it 9:30-ish?
It was late, yeah.
It was really late.
I think your plane landed at 7?
Right, there was a little bit of a delay for my flight. It was supposed to land. It was supposed to leave at 5:35, supposed to land at 7:05. We didn't leave until about quarter after 6.
Okay, so you probably landed about 7:45.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it's 9:30 that you're finally up there.
Right, going through the mouse maze to make it out to the train and then finally getting on the train. So, yeah, 30 minutes after that on the Orange Line to get to downtown, to transfer to the Blue Line, to run down to the subway, to run down to the Blue Line, another 30 minutes to get out to where you met me. So all of that, I get there, and all I'm thinking about is, okay, there's Jason. There's his car. Oh, thank God. So now we can finally get something to eat because now I'm hungry and I'm tired and I'm ready for dinner. And I see somebody in the backseat of your car once I finally pile myself in. And I'm thinking it's Loser because you were talking and texting about dinner with Loser at some point. So without looking back at all, I get in the car and I take a breath. Oh, finally made it. And I go, hey, Loser. And your mom just starts laughing, and I'm like, oh, that's not Loser. And you jump back in the car and say, don't call my mom a loser.
That's right. I think I said, you can't say that. Only I can say that.
I didn't even look to see who was sitting back there. And, yes, it's your sweet mother, who I'm very happy to see and care for very much. And did not mean to call her a loser at all. And she might be the only regular listener we have, so I want to once again apologize very much to Jay's mother. I did not mean to call you a loser.
Well, that's all right. No, I it was funny. It was funny because yeah, you just get in and just gave the usual bill style. Yeah, hey, loser, and it wasn't the loser.
I'm glad his nickname is an asshole.
Oh boy,
hey asshole.
that's pretty good.
Or a pussy or something like that. Hey, what's going on, pussy?
That's okay, because my mom did it worse because we ended up having one of my sister's closer friends ended up getting the name Mr. Fuckhead. Thanks to my mom, because they were over at our house and we were living in the apartment. So on off of Irving there, you came out there. Mm-hmm. We lived out there way out off Irving and up by Harlem. And we lived in the apartment, and it was summer, so all the windows were open because we didn't have air conditioning, so all the windows were open. And somebody always locked the outer front door, you know, because we had one of those apartment buildings where there was an outer door, and then it went to the two inner doors.
Yes, it's exactly the building I grew up in.
Right, and then you went up a little set of stairs, and then there was another door.
Yep.
You know? Because there was a door out, yeah, so you come in the first, that outer door was really never locked. You know, and then apparently my sister's friend locked the door when he came in because he didn't know. So, yeah, he locked the door, and my mom always thought it was the people who lived upstairs. And she's standing outside, and the door was locked. And she just yells through her window, some fuckhead locked the door. And our buddy's sitting there, and he's just like, "Ooh, that's me." That's right. So no, then at some point, I think it was either like a coffee mug or a T-shirt that he found, or we ended up getting for him that said, "That's Mr. Fuckhead to you." So better to be known as loser than to be known as Mr. Fuckhead.
Hey, hey!
I like that. I like that story.
That was a good one. So that was my mom unwittingly giving someone the nickname Fuckhead. Because it stuck. You know me. And you know my sister.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that stuck.
Like loser calling me gopher.
Yes. Right.
I'll forever be known as gopher to him and a couple other friends.
Oh, man. The Gopher 2 story, yes. That's just another one of our competitive, because like we used to get like really competitive playing like Madden and all those games and baseball, yeah, all those stories. And but the Gopher 2 one, you know,
lives forever.
That does live forever because that's how you're known. I don't even think Bill calls you anything but Gopher.
Hey, I had Gopher, and I just call him loser.
Yeah, it works out pretty easy.
Yes.
Oh, man. So we got the draft next week already, and
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get to watch ESPN.
Oh, da-da-da. So what did I tell you about quarterbacks magically moving up the closer the draft gets?
Oh, is it happening?
Absolutely. I don't know who these people are. Somebody is from Liberty University, which I didn't even know.
Yeah,
I
saw you make a joke about that, and I thought you were joking.
No. No.
Because I made some kind of snarky comment on Twitter about something, and then you responded to it about Liberty University. I was like, oh, boy, yeah, here we go, you know.
No, that's a real person, folks.
Oh, boy.
Somebody named, I think his first name is Malik.
Okay.
He played at Liberty, and he's moving up the boards very fast. He's been rumored as high as, I think, 2.
Oh, man. So if he's
like,
rumored to go as high as 2, and you're Jacksonville sitting there at 1, you got to trade out. Someone's a sucker.
You know what? If it was somebody, you know, Trevor Lawrence, somebody that was like universally thought of.
Yeah.
This isn't the year for that, though. This is none of these quarterbacks that are going to go in the first round are any good. Like, none of them were thought of.
You mean like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff when they went 1 and 2? Out of nowhere?
Were not thought of as first round picks like 3 months ago.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, oh, Pittsburgh's got to have them. Giants got to have them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
These guys are no good, and everyone knows
I'm telling you, if I'm the Jags, I'm dangling that pick. Someone's a sucker. Like we said about giving people money, like all it takes is one team to go. We got to
right.
go. We got to jump up. We're looking at the board. We got to go get ahead. We got to get the quarterback. We can't have Mitch Trubisky be our starter. I'm sure you can.
You're right. Like I just said, the agent can ask for their man to have fully 100% guaranteed money, and 31
yeah.
owners can laugh and grab their nuts and say, "Fuck you, we're not doing that." All it takes is one.
I mean,
all it takes is the hazard to be that dumbass.
I seem
team.
To recall a trade involving your Chicago Bears.
All it takes is finding one sucker to move up one spot in the draft.
To take the player that the other team wasn't going to take anyways.
And then do nothing with them because the coaching staff was shit.
When the Niners suckered the Bears into doing that move for Trubisky, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So you're right. It just takes one. I just don't think anyone's going to do that for these guys. I think Jacksonville's going to wind up getting stuck having to take, like, a defensive end or something.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
If the guy is that good, then, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I read this draft apparently is going to be the most wild and unpredictable that you could think of, because I've talked about the quarterback that might move up as high as two, and I've also read somewhere else where there may not be a player that touches the football drafted in the top 10. Like
it's
going to
be all linemen and defense?
All linemen and safeties.
But if those are the best players, that's okay.
That's fine. You don't have Jerry Rice in every draft. It's okay.
It's also probably going to be another one. This might be a draft where you actually see more trades with players attached.
Maybe. There's a lot of picks being shuttled around before the draft, which I've never seen that. Like, somebody did one of our fantasy league trades that two teams just traded a bunch of picks for each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know the last time I've seen that.
Eagles. The Eagles and somebody.
And just swapped a whole bunch of picks.
Did a whole big pick swap. You know, well, I think the Eagles were sitting on a whole bunch of first and second rounders.
And this is probably not the draft for that.
Yeah, especially if you're not convinced that there's a lot of top-tier talent in this draft, and you know these guys are all slotted, like guaranteed money based on where you draft them, it'd be some real expensive D linemen.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm reading is there's a lot more talent spread out in the draft, like later on, than usual, because so many players that would have came out of the draft last year decided to stay and play another year of college football because of COVID. They didn't want to have last year to be the way that their college career ended, so they came back and played some real football this year. So there's more talent jammed up in, like, the middle round. Like, you want a whole bunch of middle-round picks this year as opposed to earlier picks. And you want to trade and get a whole bunch of earlier picks for, like, next year when it's going to be better quarterbacks, better talent at the top. But for this year, it's really packed in the middle rounds. A lot of depth.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because we usually do our show on after the end of day one.
Right.
It almost makes me wonder if we should do our show after day two. if we're
a lot of talent.
If we're expecting the first round to be boring, which it sounds like it might be, and who knows, it might be crazy. There might be trades. There's always somebody's going to jump up and do something really dumb. So we do know that. We do know that. So, yeah, there's not a lot of – I mean, I don't watch a lot of college football, but I usually know a few names. I know nothing.
No.
Going into this draft. But there will be one guy who gets talked about, like, real glowing in his write-up and has just awful, awful highlight reel packages.
Oh, that's the best.
The Johnny Manziel.
Who's going to win the Johnny Football Award?
Who is going to get drafted high and have the worst highlight reel?
The guys you look at and go, that's not going to play in the NFL at all.
Yeah, when they're breaking down a guy who gets picked like eighth and they're showing fumbles and picks, that's great if you're a defensive player.
Well, Johnny Football's was funny because the highlights of him they were showing were plays where you're just like,
you can't do that in the NFL. That's not going to work.
They won't let him do that.
Yeah, that receiver is going to get destroyed. Oh, he's going to get sacked. He was doing Madden stuff. He was doing the run around and then the jump, spin, throw 40 yards down the field, and then the receiver would go and, oh, man. And they were showing those as like, they're like, that's not going to play in the NFL. And it didn't. And you and
that's a medicine ball. That's going to get his receiver killed. Yeah, no. You can't.
And you and I have absolutely no, like, scouting acumen or anything other than just watching the game. I remember going on the show when Johnny Manziel got drafted and just trashing that pick so hard.
Me too.
And we're laughing at his highlight package. Like, did you see those highlights? Oh, I got to go back and listen to that show.
So that'll definitely be what we look out for. Who wins the Johnny Football Award for having the shittiest highlight package for a high-round draft pick, high in the first round? We usually aim to have our draft aftermath, like, during the second night while the picks are being done, and then our lives get in the way or schedule or something. And we,
oh, yeah.
I recall we usually wind up having the draft aftermath, like, much later than like the next week or something.
And
like
then, then one year we had the draft aftermath because the draft aftermath show, we had so many audio snafus that we actually had to do a second show because you couldn't hear anything in the first one.
That's right. So, I think that's the only time I had to just bang a show, just completely delete the thing.
Then we just went to the draft.
Unlistenable.
Then we just had the actual draft aftermath show.
Yeah, now that I think about it, actually, I don't know if I did. I don't know if I ever deleted that original.
That show
one. I think
might
it's still
be
up
live.
There.
That show might be up somewhere.
It's terrible.
It's a horror show. Yeah,
unlistenable. So yeah, we'll aim for I guess that third night when they're having the fifth, sixth, and seventh round and all that.
I won't be around Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I actually have that day off work, and we're actually going out, doing a day trip with some friends. So that day I actually won't be around. So I would say we'd be better. I could do Friday night if you want to do day two.
During day two?
Yeah, do Friday night, 9 p.m.
Yep, we can do that.
I'll be around, and I'll have watched or listened to most of the draft up to that point. On NFL Network.
And I will be consuming the product on ESPN.
You get to watch Mel. Well, you got off the hook last year because I didn't have NFL Network last year. Even though you were supposed to watch ESPN, I watched it because my TV package only had ESPN. So you even though we're supposed to do your penance for losing the bracket, this year I'll make good.
And you spanked me again in March Madness put me back on the football.
I can't beat you to save my life at football anymore, but I can beat you in the brackets.
Yeah, I got no explanations. I got no excuses. You beat my ass. So it will be me watching the ESPN version of the draft and you watching the NFL Network version. The NFL free agency thing and the off-season stuff, it's so crazy. We didn't cover we didn't hardly cover anything else that happened besides those really big top deals.
Just on the quarterbacks. I mean, you got Matt Ryan goes to the Colts. You got Carson Wentz goes to Washington. Okay. They must
I
not
have
want
no faith in Carson Wentz being good. Anymore.
They must not want to win football games. And Matt Ryan is a step up from Carson Wentz. But he's Matt Ryan. He's 6 years removed from his best season. He's 37 years old. He'll throw the soul-crushing pick or take the third down sack every time. I don't think that's going to change. But it's an upgrade. If Matt Ryan was their quarterback last year, they make the playoffs. I mean, right?
Yes, he's not losing to Jacksonville.
Well, right. No, they'd win another. They probably would have won them another game. He's also not throwing passes left-handed out of his own end zone, jumping in the air. So I'll give that to Matt Ryan. He just would have taken the safety. He would not have thrown that pick six.
Yes. Yeah, I think I feel about the same as you do. Like, I'm happy for him, and I'm rooting for him, and it's an upgrade over Carson Wentz, but I'm not expecting fireworks at this stage of his career.
About your Bears trading Khalil Mack, I heard it's really hard to find top-tier pass rushers.
It's so difficult. I've heard that. I believe I had an opinion on that at the time, too, which is just simply –
they're not contending anytime soon, so it's fine.
Right.
You know,
so
get rid
the,
of a,
that's the line now. So the line is that we're just not any, we're not going to be any good. So let's get something for them, or
pretty much.
Oh, okay. Allen Robinson is gone too. I mean, this is what they're giving.
Yeah.
This is what they're giving Justin Fields, huh?
Go get him, kid.
Oof.
You know, it's a new regime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, they weren't going to be top contenders this year anyway. He needs a year to grow with the new regime and learn that. He needs on-field experience. And he needs playmakers around him. And losing Allen Robinson, in my opinion, doesn't really matter much because there's no one else there anyway.
Right. He was such a malcontent anyways at the end.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. And it was just him by himself. So you might as well, you know, let him go and start all over, start fresh, and get some more guys around. Maybe get some young guys up here to draft some people,
yeah,
and see if they can grow, you know, as a team. And
that might be a last place roster.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the ankle biters who you got to worry about, but
right,
the Lions showed fight. I'll at least give them that.
They did. So, yeah, I'm not looking, as a Bears fan, I'm not looking for them to show a whole lot of fight or show a whole lot of, I just want the kid to grow and get experience and let the game slow down a little bit for him without him getting absolutely killed. That's all I'm looking for this
year. Yeah, it's not like they traded their whole offensive line.
Yeah.
Which
maybe
they
should
have.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, and they got rid of QB1, so you don't have to worry about that.
I don't care about the backup situation at all.
Well, it's okay. They actually flip-flopped with the Saints because Andy Dalton went to the Saints and then Trevor Siemian came to the Bears.
And are they not the same at this point? So
they are. Yeah, that's Random Allen territory, isn't it now?
Pretty much.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so real quick about the Lions, that is my prediction for where Baker ends up.
Ooh.
That's my prediction. Everybody's saying Carolina, but I'm going to throw it out there and say I think he goes to Detroit.
Whatever stands out for a star receiver on the Panthers at this stage, tweeted out, no.
Oh, yeah, he said, like, no way. Yeah, I saw that. He doesn't want him. Like, wait, what do you want, Sam Darnold?
Darnold's getting Baker.
What do you want, Cam?
He's no good, but you know, he's really no good.
Well, no, I mean, Sam Darnold was MVP after 3 weeks last year, wasn't he?
the everything was perfect for the Panthers. The trade where the Jets were garbage.
It was coming up roses.
And Darnold has turned his career completely around. Baker is such a polarizing figure at this point because he talks like he's a Hall of Famer, just waiting for the right place to go to show his talent, and we've never seen it.
No, league average, I think league average is kind of his ceiling.
We made fun of how Odell Beckham seemed to always perform better when Baker was not in the game. Like, when he wasn't the quarterback,
oh, yeah,
that's when you saw the old OBJ come out, and then they deal him to the Rams, and you saw what he did with a real quarterback in Stafford. Like, Baker Mayfield isn't good at this point.
No, and he might need the Jameis Winston treatment. Right? I mean, really? He might need to go somewhere and sort of let somebody go and take him under his wing, make him like an heir apparent type situation, you know? Not quite the Trubisky situation. That was a little different. That was where he just went and played backup and looked good in a preseason game or two.
Just go get the stench of the Bears off of you for a year.
Yeah, you know, at this point, do we even really know how good Mitch Trubisky is? Hey, he got Matt Nagy to the playoffs twice. He might be the greatest quarterback of all time.
And he got to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe like the eighth alternate, but he got there. So, yeah, he might be,
you know.
You know, we really don't know. We'll find out.
Right. So I would say if Baker does not land himself a starting job, he might be wise to look for a situation where there's either a shaky starter or somebody who's a little long in the tooth, and you can go there and, you know, like Jameis Winston did, right? And he went to New Orleans and he sat out Drew Brees' last season, and then Drew Brees retired and he was the guy. So.
And then they just re-signed him and
they
brought
did.
Him back.
And that's because he loved him.
Jameis is back in the saddle, baby.
Man, we have not gotten to use that drop. It's criminal how underused that drop has been because Jameis got hurt 5 games in the last season.
Well, he's back on the saddle.
That's right.
He's ready
he's
to
their
go
starter.
For this upcoming season. And no Taysom Tebow to worry about. He's not a quarterback anymore. That experiment is over.
He's a tight end now. You see that?
Sure.
They're going to make him a tight end. He really is Taysom Tebow.
Just like Tim Tebow. I was just about to say that, yes.
Oh, man. Taysom Tebow. No, yeah, that's so. Yeah, Baker has painted himself into a corner where he thinks he's starter grade, and the league is looking at him going, you are not starter grade.
No.
We could also say that's a Kaepernick problem. That he had at that point when his arm was falling off, plus he had all of the other stuff going on. But most of his not being in football had to do with the fact that he thought he was a $50 million guy and he should be starting and would not accept a backup deal. And teams were like, well,
yeah, that was,
if we're not going to sign you, yeah, that he definitely overvalued his hand. Because I still think there would have been a spot for him. Even if everybody wants to talk about he was blackballed out of the league. He was blackballed out of being a starter because he was bad.
I don't know about those reports that he wouldn't have taken something less. I think at some point.
We don't know. It's obvious
that he will take anything. You know,
he's saying it now. Yeah. Now he's begging for a backup job.
Right.
That's come out in the last few weeks that he'd be willing to accept a backup job in the league. It's like, oh, okay. You could have probably, if you would have made that a public stance 4 or 5 years ago, that might have gone a long way. Because everybody gets rehabilitated. Everybody. In the NFL, everybody.
Everyone except the guy that took a knee for the anthem, but the wife beaters and the massage grabbers, yeah, they'll get rehabilitated. You talk about Tom Brady deciding to hang him up.
That was weird. Sounds like there was a tinfoil hat thing going on with that, too, that he was trying.
Yeah, because the coach decided to abruptly retire.
He comes back, Bruce Arians is like, I'm out.
Yep, I'm out. Oh, Brady's back. The goat's back. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, yeah. Someone else, you take over. Todd Bowles. The name was eluding me. So it's going to be Todd Bowles. I think Byron Leftwich is still there calling the plays now. So he'll take over the playbook. Okay.
And the conspiracy is that
Tommy was trying to
quitting.
Yo, okay.
Sort of a condition of Brady coming back was that he was with Arians, and that's what the whole thing was about.
And then there was this other angle going where Brady was trying to angle himself to Miami.
That was something else that was out
there. I saw that as well, because the whole thing like there's definitely an odor to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, but because it's Tommy and he's the golden boy and he's the goat, I doubt we'll ever get the actual full story until he is long out of the league, and even then it'll just be whispers and rumors, and I don't think we'll ever get the full story on that one. Maybe
we'll get it about 3 or 4 years later during an exclusive Manning cast with Peyton and Eli on a round table that you can only get on ESPN Plus.
Okay. Yeah. We're not going to get it on the Pat McAfee show?
If he pays enough.
Okay.
If he out, Mr. Manning cast, you can get it on the McAfee podcast.
Or someone's going to write a book, right?
Or it'll be a book.
Or Brady's going to go on a book selling tour. And that whole thing will, yeah. But there's definitely, like I said, there's definitely some odor there that something was up. And I was, you know, and you and I had texted each other right away where I was like, I think that's a bad move because Arians was really the only one lighting the fire under Brady. And Brady, seems to need that. So I think with Arians out of the picture, becomes his own worst enemy. And he doesn't
agree.
He doesn't what?
I'm saying I agree with that.
Yeah. He doesn't have
Brady
that.
Sort of needs somebody that will hold him accountable.
Yeah.
And Belichick was the guy in New England, and
right.
Arians was the guy in Tampa. And now there's nobody because
Byron
Leftwich is not yelling at Tom Brady. That's
and
just
neither
not
is Todd happen. Bowles.
And neither is Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles is calling blown coverages against Cooper Kupp. He's too busy doing that.
But yeah, Brady basically is the guy. Like this is,
right.
I think this is all a big power play. Like Brady was holding his breath and saying, "Well, I'm going to retire. Let's get rid of Bruce Arians." Yeah, so that's how this whole thing played out. He magically comes back, and Arians magically decides to retire.
Yeah, so, well, he kicked up to the front office, right? That's the official, quote unquote, official term.
Mm-hmm.
He got kicked up to the front office. But, you know, yeah, he definitely was moved out of the way because that was very sudden after Tom Brady because you'd figure, oh, wow, the GOAT's coming back. You might as well stick around. Well, no, I think I'm going to leave. Huh?
But he got a promotion, so congratulations.
Right. Yeah, so I'll take that as an actual net negative for Tampa. But again, they're in such a trash division, doesn't matter. You know, even if they backslide to 10 wins and they go 10-7, are the Saints really? I mean, the Saints are the only team that has their number. Atlanta's kind of a joke. They're going to roll with Marcus Mariota this year. There's a reclamation project, but that's another Baker situation, right? Another Jameis Winston, you stunk, you looked good, and then you stunk, and then you went and played backup for a couple of years, and now you're okay. The stink is off now. So,
Marcus stopgap.
Yes. That is Atlanta positioning themselves firmly for the 2023 draft.
Yes.
That's what that is. But that's what Baker that's what Baker's got to try.
Yeah, he's running out of options quickly.
Baker just needs to just sign quick and go be the backup in Tampa because how much longer can Tommy stay there?
Oh,
go learn from the GOAT
for
a year.
Must-see TV, Baker Mayfield on the sideline with Tommy every week.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Baker would be trying to tell Tommy all the things he's doing wrong. Hey, let me show you a few things here. Let me teach you what I've learned in the league.
When I was in this Progressive commercial, that's about all he does.
Yeah.
Baker strikes me as one of those guys who would probably be good in the booth. Seems like he's, you know, fairly kind of affable guy, you know, but seems like he'd do okay. Maybe that's where they can move him to.
Kind of reminds me of Trevor Bauer. Like, he doesn't think anything that comes in his brain has to stay there. He needs to let every
Everyone needs to hear the words of Baker Mayfield all the time.
Yeah, but he is definitely dealing from a position of weakness right now. Because there's very few options for places for him to go where he could start a football game.
And did you see who Seattle decided to bring back as a quarterback after trading Russell Wilson?
Geno?
Oh, God, Geno Smith.
Geno, they gave him $7
million. They gave him money. They valued Geno Smith
$7 million.
I guess when you trade for Drew Lock, you got to look around and go, no, we can't.
I mean, is that open? Is that an open competition? I don't know.
Does it matter?
I don't know. Yeah, no. I mean, you know what I call that? Draft positioning, right? Just like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Although I think Atlanta actually might be better than the Seahawks next year. They're bad.
Ooh. Awesome.
I,
who gets the, I mean, six wins first, the Falcons or the Seahawks?
I had Seattle in last place last season. That was like a hot take when I made it last year.
Worked out for you.
It did work out. It was one of my few that I can hang my hat on that I got right. But, whew. That's a couple of fairly bare cupboards over there. And you don't know, you know. They could. Does Seattle lose their shit to go draft a quarterback? Who knows?
This year, I sure hope not.
No. No, especially in that division where you're looking up at the Rams and the Cardinals and the Niners. Mm-mm.
No, no good.
Yeah. Yeah, why? I mean, that's to me, it's like, why? You could expend all this energy and still be the last place team.
That's not going on their year-end cover either of their video.
Uh-oh, what's that?
The 2022 Seattle Seahawks. Why?
Why? Yeah, we should definitely not be the guys titling the NFL Films year-end recaps for teams. I think one of them, I forget the team, the one year we said that was going to be at least they tried. I thought that was, I remember that one. I wish I could remember what team that, I'm sure it's buried somewhere in this show's audio. That we were going to have a team, and their video recap for the season was going to be titled "At Least They Tried."
Yeah, I forget too, but there's a few teams I guess that.
Oh man,
trying to think of whatever moves that we missed. There's I'm sure there's more.
There's so many.
There's a lot more.
You know, and
we're
like
craziest
we're at that
offseason ever.
We're at the point where we're just bouncing around right now. Yeah, we hit the quarterbacks. So we did our ESPN thing. Those were the big ones.
Dwayne Haskins come in as competition. Oops.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, that was Pittsburgh. That was Trubisky's competition. Maybe Trubisky was driving the garbage truck.
He put a hit out on him.
Yeah. You're not taking my job.
Train and beat me, huh? Watch this. That went down while we were in Chicago. We saw that news come across.
Yeah. No, that ad actually was that at the auction that you showed me.
Someone said it. I didn't know. I was watching.
I think I told
news.
You. I think I was looking at something. I told you about it.
Yeah.
We got hit by a garbage truck or something.
Some sort of truck, yeah.
Or dump truck.
What?
I mean, it was really weird.
Very.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's, you know, you can't really make a joke, but.
We just did.
Well.
We always count on us.
Yeah, we just let the Mitch Trubisky put a hit out on him. You know.
Right.
We weren't there. We can't prove a thing.
That's right. We didn't joke about it last weekend because it was very shocking and very surprising. And yeah, there's not much you can really say about it, when you see the news.
Yeah, everybody was so excited about the Rams getting Robert Woods back, they traded him. He got his ring. He got a ring.
He did.
He didn't play, but he got a ring. He's on your Titans now.
Yes.
Which is
are already done with the Julio Jones experience.
Julio, as of now, is still unsigned.
It's probably a slim market for him at this point.
Yeah. Jarvis Landry, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, Keelan Cole, Alan Hearns, Albert Wilson. These are just some of the wide receivers available right now, if the price is right.
One of the other Packers that Aaron Rodgers couldn't get a star out of, but he tried, MVS.
Yeah, Marquez Valdez-Scantling went to the Chiefs.
Kansas City.
Yes. And then Byron Pringle leaves the Chiefs, goes to the Bears.
Yeah. It's a merry-go-round.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And then DeMarcus Robinson left the Chiefs. So Chiefs are going to have about as good of a wide receiver room as the Packers. But they'll have Travis Kelce. Packers do not have.
This is true. Yeah, I'm more worried about the Chiefs than I guess
you're worried about the Chiefs and you're worried about the Packers, you know.
I am.
Do you know who doesn't have a problem at wide receiver? Josh Allen.
That's right.
He'll be okay.
He will. Well, I guess the Raiders are good, too, bringing in Davante Adams.
Yeah. I mean, they go and they get Derek Carr, a legitimate number one, right?
It's his buddy from Fresno State.
And I guess you figure after they lost Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. He's not coming back, I don't think.
He's no.
He's occupied.
Yes. But I'm just saying, you know, with him not going to be around, you had to go and get a number one. So they made the offer and Atlanta took it. So not Atlanta, the Packers took it. Atlanta on the brain there. I was reading through all the things, and I saw Falcons on one of the – I was looking at the Raiders moves right now. And, yeah, they bring in Davante Adams. They bring in Chandler Jones. You know, not bad.
It just shows how high-flying the league is now. None of these moves and machinations have anything to do with running backs. It's all about the quarterbacks and the receivers. It's all about the aerial show now.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody values these running games at all. In fact, what's by the listing, a lot of the top running backs, not even signed. Melvin Gordon does not have a deal, which is odd.
Get any running back that's got mileage on him, unless he's Derrick Henry, you're just not going to care. Like, he's draft somebody in the fifth round or something.
He's 29, so it's not like he's old, you know, but that's
well, and running
back for running backs,
years,
I guess.
That is pretty old.
Yeah, but he's still good. I mean, you know, Melvin Gordon, you know, he's not a scrub.
Yeah, but it's just not he's not great either. He's all right. And running backs who are high is just—they're not valued at all.
He's top half of the league, you know, maybe just above the middle. Raheem Mostert went to the Dolphins. There's one of your ex-49er running backs.
Yep, and I like him, but he's a guy.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's a guy. David Johnson is unsigned. That's not shocking.
Yeah, he's not a guy.
Yeah. Jalen Richard, Philip Lindsay, both unsigned. Leonard Fournette re-upped. with the Bucks, and he's one of the younger ones. He's only 27. Can you believe it?
He's a kid.
So the young ones, the under 27s or 27s and under, Sony Michel unsigned right now, but mm-hmm. he hasn't been the same since he left New England at all. Marlon Mack went to the Texans. He's 26 to be with your boy, because you are the president now and sole member of the General Mills fan club, just so you know.
I've got my General Mills pennant. I'm waving it in the air. I love me some Davis Mills. I don't love him, but I did see a spark.
I'm going to send you a General Mills jersey. I have to get one of those made up for you.
Mills Texans jersey. That'd be the only one ordered.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, the Falcons re-signed Cordarrelle Patterson. He's actually listed as a running back.
Yeah, why not?
The poor man.
Give him a slash. That's not a position.
Yeah, he's the poor man's Debo Samuel. Really poor, but
yes. So that's our attempt to catch up on the NFL offseason, the tornado that has been this past offseason as we get ready for the draft coming up next week. And we are intending to come to you on night two of the drafts, live coverage. 9 o'clock Central, 10 o'clock Eastern, our 2022 NFL Draft Aftermath. And looking forward to that. This draft is going to be interesting for the lack of stars. Usually drafts are interesting for the guys who are heavily touted and who are going to really show out and who's going to make the big splash, what team's going to move up to make the big splash. This year is more about the depth, and it's more about which teams are going to make decisions sort of to back out of those top positions, knowing that they can stockpile picks for later.
I'm excited for this one because I know absolutely nobody who's in it.
Right. Quarterback from Liberty. Keep an eye out for that. That's all I can tell you.
Watch out for Guy. Just that guy.
It's going to have a Madden shadow. Everyone's just going to have a shadow when they get drafted. They're not going to show their face. It's just going to be Guy.
That's cold.
That's what they are. They're all
guys.
Won't
even have a stock photo of the guy. He's just going to be a shadow.
NFL Draft 2022. They're all guys. That's the tagline.
Not going to look good on the tagline.
All right, you ready to call it?
Yeah, I got to get to bed and get to work tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for joining us on our Kings of Non Sequitur. I hope I didn't sound too bad here on the phone. I do not know what's going on with the microphone.
The beginning you sounded like you were doing the cans and string thing. But as the show progressed, definitely more clarity. Early it was rough.
You know what happened? My dumbass stopped talking at the microphone and started talking at the phone because I remembered that I'm not on the microphone.
Oh.
So that kind of helped.
Yeah, it would make sense.
All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. Oh, we are in the after show. I was just about to hit a outro and I lost it. So we're going to just leave cold. And we will be back for
bye.
Bye. NFL Draft Aftermath, night two next week. Check it out. Be there live. We'll talk to you
next
week. Bye.